Have any items been pulled from the consent agenda?
We've had two, item 273 and item 275.
273 and 275. Please call the roll on the remainder.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Sossman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The consent agenda is adopted. Item 268, please.
268. Authorize grant agreement with Hack Oregon for $31,600 to build an open data platform, data analytics tools, and web applications from Smart Cities sources.
Colleagues, the foundation of our Smart Cities and Open Data program is a more intentional management for city data and increase capability to turn data into useful information. We can derive insight from data we have now and data that we'll be collecting in the future to help us make and evaluate decisions, to design and evaluate policies and programs, to enhance community engagement, and to partner with the private sector to meet city goals around livability, affordability, safety, sustainability, resiliency, and equity. BPS has been coordinating our citywide smart cities and open data efforts and has partnered with PBOT, BTS, PSU, TriMet, Metro, and Hack Oregon to develop and pilot a centralized data platform to foster insight and enable data-driven decision-making. Staff and partners that are in this project are here today to give us a brief overview of the Portland Urban Data Lake, otherwise known as Puddle concept, and to request our approval of a grant to Hack Oregon to support the development of an open and community-owned version of the Puddle platform. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Mayor Wheeler. Thanks, City Council, for having us here. We're really excited to be here to talk about this opportunity with Hack Oregon and to give you a very brief overview of the Portland Urban Data Lake project. So back when we were here in May of 2017 for the Open Data Ordinance, City Council directed us to look at ways to foster a culture of using data to inform and evaluate city decisions and to explore technical tools and methodologies for doing so. So the Portland Urban Data Lake project is really a response to that, to those directives coming out of the Open Data Ordinance. At a very high level, and if there's anything I'd like you to remember from this presentation, it's probably this. Portland Urban Data Lake is a platform to enable data-driven decision-making. Data lakes are kind of a thing. I think the term was coined by Amazon for these platforms that allow you to store, permission, secure, govern, analyze, and make data available. We called ours the Portland Urban Data Lake to get to the acronym PUDDLE, which we're way more proud of than we probably should be. But it's really this foundation for how we become a more data-driven organization. This is what it looks like if you're looking at the presentation. Kind of a high-level representation. We've got a bunch of data that we need to manage. It goes into this cloud-based platform. This is just a sample of data that we need to manage. Obviously, there are thousands and thousands of data sets that are spread throughout the city and the region, and data that we want to collect in the future that we need to figure out how to better manage and how to turn into useful information. So you feed this data into this cloud-based system, and then it makes available out the other side to our GIS systems, to our business intelligence systems like Tableau, and our data analysts in the city, to our web developers and programmers so they can build custom applications, mobile and web applications and dashboards, and to the public via our open data portals. And really there's a whole lot, I'm not going to get into the technical weeds, but there's a whole lot going on inside that cloud-based system beyond just storing the data. It allows us to manage it, it allows us to clean it, it allows us to secure it and govern it. It allows us to build models actually inside the platform that integrate different data sources and turn them into new knowledge. And then it provides the sort of handles that we need for our data analysts in the city and for the public to grab that information and actually turn it into insight. So why do we need this? Really, being a smart city is mostly about data. You know, we think of becoming smart as, you know, using information to build new knowledge. And that's really what being a smart city is about, is how we take the data that we have now and how we take the data that we know we're going to have in the future and really start using it more effectively so we can better provide services to the public and so we can, you know, better make and evaluate our decisions. I think it's pretty widely recognized that we are not really effectively managing and aren't using the data that we have now, much less the data that we're looking at collecting in the future.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we have a lot of data. It tends to be fairly siloed. It tends to be not accessible across, say, bureau boundaries and program boundaries. We tend to collect and design our data for sort of single-purpose uses rather than thinking of it as a resource that can be shared across the city and with the public. And we tend to sort of, our data is siloed, and it's also sort of siloed in the way that we store it. So, you know, we don't create systems where it's easy to integrate data from multiple sources. And that's really what we need to effectively analyze and turn our data into useful information. We do that with spatial data, and really the city and the region in partnership with Metro has been a national leader in how we manage our GIS data, and really we want to build on that system and expand it so that it can accommodate other types of data beyond just things that we can put on a map. Small data is hard, so the data that we have now is quote-unquote small data, and we're having trouble managing it. As we move forward, we know we're going to roll out things like sensors that collect data 24/7, 365 days a year, some of which will provide data, 10, 20, 30 times a minute. And how are we going to manage all that data as a resource? How are we going to store it? How are we going to turn it into actual information that folks like you, staff in the city, and the public can actually use to make decisions? Puddle is really a foundation for doing that.
Why do you say it's inevitable that we are going to have more sensors?
Well, I think that we recognize that there's a whole bunch that we don't know that if we knew, we would be able to more effectively make decisions about services we provide and investments that we make. The example that I'll use later that I can use now is that we don't know how pedestrians are using our infrastructure. We have pretty labor-intensive manual ways of going out with clickers to count pedestrians on sidewalks in the city. One of the things we know we want to do going forward is figure out a way that we can have much more real-time information about how pedestrians are moving through our system, similar to the way that we have information around how vehicles are moving through our system.
I just suggest that that's a policy call, because I think there are significant privacy and monitoring surveillance implications to sensors that surveil everybody who's on every sidewalk.
I absolutely agree, and I think how we roll these things out and how we manage those issues around privacy and confidentiality of our community are core components of this discussion. We definitely don't want the technology to lead. We want the community to lead. And I think those privacy issues are definitely part of that conversation.
And again, I would say whether we roll them out rather than how.
Yeah. Extracting value from our data is this untapped opportunity. This is a slide from Harvard from a couple of years ago, and it's not really specific to the public sector. This is actually a study of the private sector. So our percentages are probably a little bit different and probably not as good. But they found that only 50% of data is actively used in decision-making. 70%, and sort of to your point, Commissioner Fritz, 70% of employees have access to data that they should not. So really one of the things we're trying to build in the Puddle is this concept of much more granular levels of permissioning around data so that we make sure that any information that's sensitive, any information that's confidential, only the people that need to see that data see it, and to the degree that's possible, we don't want to collect that information at all. And so really thinking that through as part of the technical platform is one of the things that we're talking about. And then this is near and dear to Michael Kerr's heart. 80% of the time that analysts spend analyzing data is really finding the data and cleaning it up so that they can actually use it. And so that's a huge time suck that we want to really build a platform that reduces that percentage significantly. some core principles, and I'll just run through these real quick. Data does not equal insight. We've seen a lot of cities sort of rush into technical solutions like rolling out sensors, collecting a bunch of data, and then realizing they don't know what to do with it and they don't know how to use it. And so data does not magically become information just because you collect it. We need systems in place to make that data useful. Data is more valuable in combination with other data. We need systems that allow us to integrate data to tell a fuller story. We're really looking, using the smartphone versus camera analogy to build something that's not single purpose. That's the way we tend to manage data now. We sort of store it over here. We analyze it over here. We want to build a platform that does all of those things, so akin to the smartphone. We want it to be nimble, open, and vendor agnostic. We don't want to lock ourselves into a particular solution. We know these are all new technologies. We want to be able to change our minds down the road in terms of where we store this data. We want to start small and test, evaluate, improve, and repeat. So really recognizing that there's no one right answer right now, and that the way to do this, the way to innovate, is really to start small with a problem we can wrap our heads around and build from there. We want to learn from our past successes around how we manage GIS data, both as a city and a region. And we recognize we are not alone. So we're partnered with TriMet, PGE Metro, because we're all struggling with the same problem in the region. We're also working with the City of Austin, the City of Denver, and the City of Boston to try to look at if we can build sort of a shared collaborative solution. Other cities are... City of Columbus just rolled out a $10 million RFP to essentially do what we're proposing to do here for a couple hundred thousand dollars in a pilot. We recognize that we want to start small and that no amount of money is going to bring somebody in to help solve this problem for us. We really need to solve this problem from within and then leverage the technical tools we need to do so. All of this is hard. This is just from 2014. This is a graphic of all the different data platforms that are out there in 2014. So it's 2018 now, so this is even messier than it was then. And, we spent the past really 3 to 6 months evaluating all the different options and figuring out what technology is the best fit for Portland. And so we're now at the point where we're ready to move on a couple of pilots. And those pilots, again, pretty at just a high level, we're looking at a pilot with Microsoft and a company called Cloudera, which is an aggregator of open source tools that you can use for these types of data platforms, and a company they work with called Clairvoyant. That's more of a platform as a service model where we'll be paying them to basically create and manage this platform for us. We're talking to Amazon AWS about more of a do-it-yourself model where we would build this internally. And pick and choose the tools we want to use ourselves. And then what we're really here today to talk about is a pilot with Hack Oregon on sort of a community-built version of this, and really recognizing that there's an opportunity here to continue to support Hack Oregon, which is nationally recognized as a leader in using data to foster civic engagement, and really want to continue that relationship with Hack Oregon going forward. And Kat's here from Hack Oregon to talk a little bit more about that. We're also focusing in on a few use cases around safety, pedestrian safety. So how can we use the data we have now, and how can we look to future data sources to get a better handle on proactively identifying places where there's a high risk of pedestrian injuries before they actually occur? And how can we better assess the investments we're making around pedestrian safety so that we know that they're working, and data has a role in both of those conversations? We're looking at a partnership with TriMet around improving transit arrival times based on real-time traffic and congestion information. We're calling this the "Will I be late to work and be fired?" Use case. We're looking at a partnership with PSU around a predictive pedestrian models to really get at a better idea, a better understanding of how our curb is being utilized. So these are the initial use cases that we're rolling out with. And then we've got a pretty broad collaborative team internally. It's a partnership between BPS, PBOT, and BTS. But we're also working with Portland State, TriMet Metro, Hack Oregon, and Portland General Electric. The initial funding for all of this is coming from PBOT, and I just want to thank them for recognizing that they're going to need this data foundation to do the kind of work that they want to do going forward, and that before we put out any systems or increase our capacity to collect data, we need a place to for it to actually go and a place for us to actually manage it. So with that, I think I'm going to turn it over to Michael Kerr from PBOT for a little bit more on the data analyst perspective and also perspective from PBOT itself.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Kerr, and I manage PBOT's Office of Strategy, Innovation, and Performance. I'm here today to provide a Bureau's perspective on the Puddle effort, as well as why we, PBOT, are so invested in making this a success. So the origins of our interest really stem from, as Kevin really has touched on already, but in a more applied sense, with the scope of our mission and just the breadth of our programs, naturally, organically, our data has just developed in ways and been brought in ways that we have siloed systems, siloed storage capacity, siloed data across our bureau. Every program office maintains immense amounts of data, and they do it in their own way. They have to answer questions specific to their programs, and this is just how things have gone. It's a natural occurrence. You see this in any organization, but in PBOT, given our breadth and scope, it tends to be a fairly immense how spread our data is. Add to that the fact that when you try and take data from different programs and bring it together to combine it to actually derive insights from the data, it tends to be highly unstructured, formatted in different ways. Certain terms are called what a road is called a different things in different data sets, for example, because each program may look at a road a little bit differently. So when you try and bring these things together, it's incredibly manual. It takes time, effort, labor, bringing subject matter experts to the table to really get them to explain to you what the data means and to make sure we're all in alignment and consensus before we can proceed. So with that, we look at Puddle as a great place to go because with a central platform for us to place our data, it introduces maturity. It introduces new behaviors that we'll need to pull out of our staff to ensure that going forward, we don't continue to bring in data in a siloed fashion. That being the case, we are also, given the Puddle effort, we've already initiated internal efforts. We're inventorying our data across our bureau to better understand what we have today, where it resides, who maintains it. It's just a starting point when you do any type of open data effort. This is a requirement, right? And we're already taking these steps. Simultaneously, we're looking at the data quality across our bureau. So if we do share data with Puddle or with external stakeholders, that we can accurately communicate what this data is, what it means, how sensitive is this information, when was it last collected, and then just a quality score, so to speak, so you know what you can do with it. And then finally, we're looking to warehouse data. It's a strategy of bringing data into a central place so that we can better transfer data back and forth with an open data platform like Puddle. That's our existing data. As Kevin's touched on, there are numerous emerging data sources across the smart city space that can help us as a bureau better answer questions that up to this point in time has been incredibly difficult to answer, where we've utilized fixed counts and fixed intervals going out to street corners, as Kevin mentioned, to count pedestrians, count bikes. We have smart cities providers coming to us that are really providing incredibly innovative ways to present this information back to us, information that is real time, information that is comprehensive. As opposed to fixed points, it is across the city, all roads, we can see from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. exactly how everyone was traveling, what mode they took, what roads they took, if there was construction on a road, how did they divert and where did they end up. It's incredibly promising material. And we are very encouraged by what's out there, but we know, given our current data infrastructure, if we start bringing this data in, it's almost like you open the floodgates, you start getting this data. I'll take, as an example, the Waze CCP, the data we're getting through that community partnership, you turn that data on, it's thousands of records every minute coming in just on an ongoing basis. It can overwhelm your systems, number one. Storage capacity is reached pretty quickly. And then, two, it's coming in an unstructured format, so you're getting reams of information that you then, as an analyst, have to take and somehow translate to derive insights out of it. When we look at Puddle, we see a platform that's going to be able to just take this data in, translate it via machine learning, automation, however we ultimately design this system, and then provide back to us the insights that we've provided to them, saying we need data for these time intervals across these various modes, and Puddle will be able to provide that directly back to us so that then we as a bureau can truly take this data, do real rigorous analytics, and provide each of our programs with various insights as to how what we're doing as a bureau is impacting our city and how investments are impacting our city and how we should be prioritizing going forward. And then I'll finally touch on just the BI tools we have today. We've talked about GIS. GIS is incredibly promising from a spatial perspective. We use it for almost everything we do across our bureau in order to map where we are, what we're doing, where our investments are going, where our safety improvement projects are going, where Vision Zero is focused. But GIS has its limitations when it comes to real-time data. And our GIS techs will tell you, while we love the tool and we want to continue to use it for its current set of use cases, when it comes to real-time data, we get a little frightened about this because GIS isn't necessarily capable of taking all these reams of information from the signals, from the sensors, from these GPS data sets, and automatically translating it over into actual derived insights. Then we have Tableau, super sophisticated BI tool that can actually work with immense amounts of information. However, the way we as a city have deployed Tableau, it's localized. Every bureau has various instances of it. It's on desktops. You can't necessarily tap into enterprise data sources like, say, SAP or our HR data sources to pull data out. You have to get flat files, and it's a very manual process. Subsequently, you also run into data security issues without an enterprise backbone because we're sharing dashboards, et cetera, with sensitive information. We have to withhold this information and manipulate ways to get it out only to those who need it. It's not the right way to go, which is where Puddle then provides us with an enterprise backbone that we can work with. So I'll leave it at that for now. We are absolutely on board with the Puddle project. We will continue to support this given the use cases we're focusing on, and we very much want to see this project succeed.
Thank you.
And Kristen Tufte is here from Portland State to talk about PSE's role and her role in the project.
Good morning. My name is Kristen Tufte. I'm computer science faculty and Smart Cities liaison at Portland State University. And thank you for having me here this morning. So, you know, honestly, when I talk about our work in Puddle, I usually talk about people and how that I really honestly hope that our work will make a pedestrian safer or give some reassurance to a lady who's riding the bus, give her some more accurate information about when she gets to her destination so she knows she's going to get to work on time. But I'm going to try and take a little bit of a different tack today. And I'm going to put my academic hat on, and I'll tell you that I've been working in big data since the earlier mid-1990s. Maybe don't want to admit that, but that's about 25 years. And this includes development of several really cutting-edge research data management projects, including one called Paradise that we actually sold to NCR Corporation. So data is my space. That data platforms diagram that Kevin mentioned that looks messy, I think, and complicated, that's my space. I love it. It's fascinating. It's interesting to me. Bringing us a bit back to where we are here today, so let's imagine for a moment that one of our project goals, and maybe it is to bring you guys a graphic, bring you all a graphic about an issue, pedestrian safety. And the purpose of that graphic is to maybe help you understand that issue better, to enable a little bit of a discussion and a decision. And the question is, how's Puddle going to help us get to that graphic? And so, to my mind, the very first step in that is understanding that issue, whatever we're talking about, pedestrian safety, from your perspective. How does that issue appear from your perspective? What are the potential levers you may have to influence that issue? So, and that's a key point that I have, which is that all the work on data, the work on Puddle, this work really absolutely must be driven by outcomes, specific outcomes such as providing you all with a really interesting graphic on pedestrian safety. So then Kevin presented this data pipeline. The first piece in that pipeline is ingest. So in my words, that's just getting data and getting it into the system. And as Mike described, that in itself can be a really difficult part. The next piece is data engineering. This is sort of my area. And I describe data engineering as getting the data to play nicely together. Yes, I know I personalize data, right? Makes me a geek. So it's trying to get all this data to play nicely together. And if you think about pedestrian safety, what data do we want to learn about intersection safety? We want to know how many cars are there, how fast are they going, is it cars and trucks or mostly cars, how many pedestrians are there, is there a bus stop nearby? There's a whole variety of data that might influence our pedestrian safety graphic, and we got to get all that data to play nicely together. Different formats, different levels of qualities, etc. It is, to my eyes, there are tools and techniques out there that can help us solve it, but it's not a fully solved problem. We have some research ongoing at Portland State that we call agile data integration that is applicable to this problem. So it's a problem even in the research space. So the data pipeline, ingest, engineering, stewardship, and then those those three things provide the foundation for the data analytics and the data science, it would create this graphics for you. So our goal on, yeah.
Hold for a sec. We have a blank screen, and yeah. If the public isn't okay.
There we go.
Now it's on. So
there you go.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, sorry about that. Right, so those are the three steps. So that's what we'll focus on in Puddle, ingest, engineering, stewardship, followed by analytics and data science with the goal of providing actionable outcomes. PSU is a partner in this effort. We are excited to be a partner in this effort. We very much value the partnership with the city and with the regional agencies. We strive to provide the technical backbone for you all to be a smart city that is part of our shared goals and our partnership agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, and we hope you're better at data than plumbing.
When I was in high school and I took a test to tell me what career I should have, it told me I should be a plumber.
My mom had wished that I was either a plumber or an electrician, and there's days when I do,
right.
too. Commissioner Fritz, did you have a comment?
I do. I have several questions. I noticed in the principles that there was nothing on equity, and I'm wondering how this benefits our underserved communities, and particularly this really introduces a new category of underrepresented people who are those of us who don't understand technology, nor would really be able to delve into a lot of data. So I'm interested, at, maybe not extensively now, but as this project moves forward, to understand how those people are going to be better served.
Maybe I'll take a first crack at that.
Okay.
I'll fill in. I think that's a really good question, and one of the things that we recognize is that the way that we make data available to the public now is not equitable in and of itself. So we have open data portals, and that's great. People can go and download data. But as we like to say, that only serves sort of the 1% of people that can actually take that data and do something with it, that have those skills. So one of the reasons that we are so excited about the Puddle Project is because by building this sort of foundational platform for making data more accessible, we can make it accessible in a way that provides actual information rather than just sort of raw data. And so we've heard a lot from the community, like, it's great that you're making your data available to us, but I can't do anything with it. And really, we want to have a community conversation around, as we make our data available, how can we do it in a way that you can actually, you know, make decisions based on it?
Well, the challenge, though, is that it usually stimulates more conversation that we found with our geographic mapping.
Right.
It looks like we invest a lot of money in East Portland in the Water Bureau, for example. That's because the reservoirs are there. So it's
right.
not that it's really benefiting. We had a robust conversation earlier this week about transportation and the state of roads in East Portland, that the East Portland representative was astonished to find
yeah.
out that, according to Tableau, streets are in pretty good shape there. So it's a, you know, there's, I'm concerned about that this somehow sometimes doesn't create more understanding. It creates less understanding and more questions then coming into staff who may or may not have ever yeah. seen that particular graphic. So that's something I'm concerned about moving forward. You mentioned about doing the computer programs automatically analyzing all this data. I know that we all have, there are a lot of national concern about voting machines and various
right.
other things. How will it build in the quality control so that we know that the machine has done it correctly? Thirdly, is this all predicated on each of us being tracked through carrying our cell phones?
No.
So that's, you know, when you're talking about knowing where the traffic is and everything, it's kind of a mystery to me how Google Maps knows where all the congestion is and takes me around the right way. But this is it on a much more personal level that people might not necessarily be asking Google Maps to
yeah.
tell them how to do it. So that's of concern. And then my last thing to be explored is, what are the state laws about this? We know that Oregonians are very much into privacy. We have to battle to get photo radar in specific areas, and we have to put big signs up saying that, you know, watch out, you could be on camera.
Yeah.
How do you envision any state laws needing to change in order to be able to do something like this?
I mean, I think those are all excellent points, and you know, part of what we're going to be doing in this pilot is doing some learning around how we approach all those issues, and I hope that we can continue to engage your office in those conversations.
Thank you.
I want to bring a Kat up from Hack Oregon, too, to say a few words specifically about the grant with Hack Oregon. Yeah, Kat.
Scott, want to come up?
Well, can we? I think we still have a couple questions with this panel.
Okay.
Can we do that first?
Sure.
And then?
Sure.
So I had two questions. So one of the challenges we have in the bureaus, all the bureaus, is better understanding how the people we serve view us, and what kind of information do they want? And I think a classic example of that is when we have discussions at budget time about some of the benchmarks that have been developed. I've been a critic of some of the benchmarks because they seem to me not to be correlated to things that we're hearing that our customers care about.
Right.
So we're trying to get benchmarks that are actually directly relevant to people's experience. So my two questions to PBOT, is it Mike?
Yep.
Is number one, what's the process you go through to figure out what the people you serve are interested in? And how do you determine what kinds of questions people have and how the data will serve that? And number two, does the proliferation of data allow you to make real-time changes in the grid daily? And I'll just give you one example. There's a huge choke point in our city now around Grand, MLK, Cooch, and Burnside Bridge. And there's a lot of factors, including construction, a lane taken out of Burnside, and the like. But another piece of it is that, as I learned to my detriment the other day, the reason traffic is backed up on Grand so far is that the light at MLK along Cooch lasts about 8 seconds. And so there isn't enough capacity to get cars get blocked at the intersection, they can't get through the intersection, and so it backs up. Does the proliferation of good data allow PBOT to make real-time changes in those kinds of patterns?
So I'll get obviously to that question in a moment, but to go back to your first question about how we solicit input from external stakeholders, given that PBOT is so present, and as we like to describe it, every project we work on from a capital perspective is above ground. It is, we're shutting down lanes, we're diverting traffic, we're having to do something that inevitably impacts someone or a mass of someone's. So through the capital improvement programs, I mean, that's one place where we get continuous feedback. You look at the immense outreach we do around our broader, bigger projects like NATO, for example. That's one major input. Our planners are out there conducting stakeholder engagement meetings on an ongoing basis. I mean, this is real time, bringing people to the table, constant outreach, and it is throughout every year. And then you bring it back to our BVAC and how we get feedback through that process as well. We also are working on right now, our communications director is working on a community outreach survey, just another way of getting inputs. But again, we can never get enough. That is a constant discussion. But we do, as a bureau, that is constantly a focus of what we're doing. But we know we could always get more, and there are always opinions that we miss. And it's just something we have to take account of and constantly get better at. To your question about real-time adjustments, the answer in short is we believe that will be the case. Our signals and streetlights team today, I mean, they already have means to see what's going on via video cameras and to make adjustments, not necessarily real time, but we react to what's going on. Sometimes you can't necessarily foresee what's happening before it happens, and it's going to take a day or two to make an adjustment. That being regardless, the hope would be with this data and in the future that back to this whole machine algorithm-based automated services, that those types of real-time adjustments to the way a signal is timed, et cetera, will be possible across the transportation system without someone having to go in and intervene. But this is hypothetical. We don't know where we're going to go. Just the data shows that, yes, it's promising, and it may enable us to make these
Thank you very
changes.
Much.
Thank you. So I want to keep us moving. We're way over time here, and we still want to hear from Kat, and we still have to take public testimony. So if we could keep this focused on the grant agreement with HackOregon, that would be helpful. There's lots of time to talk about the transportation issues and the open data issues generally.
Mayor,
Commissioner
I just I don't think we saw several slides in your presentation, so if you could email them to us. I feel like you were referring to slides that we couldn't see.
Yeah, so, I will make sure that you have those.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kat, do you want to come
up? Kat, would you come up?
Hi, thank you. I'll do my best to keep this brief. It is a lot to digest, and I think just to highlight our program and really what Hack Oregon does, and to continue on with the partnership and investment that the city has made in us with a grant last year. We work with volunteers and build open data projects that are systems to help enable more of this data to be used in terms of analytics. It creates consolidation of existing information that we have. I would like to mention as well that we're working with data overall that is not sensitive, personally identifiable, or anything that gets into security concerns. We are really rich with opportunity and things that we can learn, especially when it comes to equity, around the things that the public wants to hear about that don't necessarily fit into some of the programs and existing workflow of people that work in these different areas. That even PBOT, if we want to discuss something about transportation and we're looking at mobility in our city and ridership, TriMet released a report in fall looking at a slow decline in ridership over the last 10 years. This is coming from an enormous data set of ridership data. And they were able to, they put a lot of man hours into producing this report, and they couldn't quite say, you know, why is ridership declining? There was an article that was published with, this was national, looking at, well, potentially its economic displacement, but we would have to do a lot more work in order to understand this better. And, of course, that brings in questions about our neighborhoods, affordable housing, tie that all back into transportation, and then, neighborhood development and change over time. All of this data, you're talking about 20 different types of sources involving a number of different bureaus, county, even state. What does mobility mean in terms of disaster planning, right? That you can easily just compound the complexity of these questions. And if you don't have systems that are in place to be able to easily access and streamline some of your sources and make this machine readable so that when you have big data, you're not just doing calculations with, you know, small teams of analysts. You actually have some machinery that can help make this very quick and accelerate the pace of innovation of what enables the decision-making. We have been able to access the ridership data from TriMet and really help them because we have a team of 40 engineers that are working as volunteers for 6 months to deliver a demo of, you know, this graphic that you'll see. It'll actually look like an entire system that will let us know something new about ridership decline. And guess what? In order to learn something about ridership decline, we have to understand economic displacement, and we have to understand equity and mobility in Portland, which involves a lot of factors. And so in that way, we are required to be nimble and move in between bureaus in a way that can be really difficult for government to do. You know, there's barriers to innovation when it comes to procurement and a lot of other things that Portland is not alone dealing with. And the reason that Hack Oregon's getting national attention at this moment is because we've been able to inspire teams of volunteers to come out from the private sector, work with domain experts, and oftentimes volunteer right alongside city employees after hours to see what we can do with this available information to offload some of that risk in R&D. These would be very expensive projects if we were paying for the time involved with the people doing them. But because it's so important and because it doesn't seem like there's a process for us to move forward on this, it creates this call to action that's very powerful for the community. Hack Oregon has been a nonprofit active in Portland for 5 years. You know, we are continuing to build on the momentum that we got from our partnership with the city last year, and the whole country is paying attention. I think it's good to, if you're not aware, there's the Global Smart Cities Tech Jam conference is coming to Portland in June. We are set up at the convention center for 2,000 people from the community to come out to watch this demo. Our transportation partnership with Puddle and our grant today is just one of five projects that we're going to be demonstrating to the public. It's tradition for us, actually. Commissioner Fish was there last year. The audience does a vote on their favorite projects. But we know that some of our other projects, by the way, are affordable housing. We're working on disaster resilience. That's also with, we're working with PBEM on that. And We're working on transportation with Puddle and neighborhood development with the county, and we're looking into elections and redistricting. So all of these projects share data sources. And what I'd like to just leave you with today is listening to all of this conversation. I know it may seem a little bit strange where we're talking about the city's long-term vision for what open data means, and there are so many questions that goes into what cloud and security and different pipelines mean. HackOregon is listed up there as a micropilot partner right alongside AWS and Microsoft. Why is that the case, and why is this happening with a nonprofit here in Oregon? It's actually very unusual nationwide, and when you think about the citizen engagement open part of it, you may think that it means that it's an amateur hour sort of, you know, creating a presentation. But these are some of the most talented, highly sought after developers, engineers, and data scientists in our city. We have thousands of applications of people who want to join these teams. We took 125 volunteers this year. By the way, 60 of those volunteers went through extensive training with us as part of a workforce development program. And depending on how you look at it, we're one of the largest developer shops in town. And this is all going back into the public domain with these systems that belong to people and can be there to help inspire and inform all of the questions that are going to come at us for many years as we develop our long-ranging vision for open data. And so we want to have an amazing showcase in June when the country is going to be here looking at smart cities. We want to establish that leadership for Portland. I know that we can do it. We're entirely grateful for the support from BPS and PBOT. We also, just as a reminder, we have a formal request in for the budget bump as well, just to help us make sure that we can get over the finish line, especially when it comes to looking at housing and affordability and some of those equity questions. So thank you.
Thank you, Kat. Commissioner Fritz.
So thank you for your presentation and for your work. You just mentioned having lots of volunteers involved in this. Some of the data that the city handles is confidential, sensitive information. How are your... I mean, the very name of your organization doesn't... Usually being hacked is not a good, something that is a happy day when that happens. So what are the safeguards for community members who might be worried about their data being available to people who are not public employees?
I think that the simple answer to that question is that we're not working with data that wouldn't already be in the public domain, and that this is more of an accessibility question, that we can do a service to bureaus who actually would want to share their data, but can't necessarily, it's staff time to do that. Also cleaning up a lot of data sources, making it possible to make that available to be shared. I think that an example of this is when we were working with TriMet, the Smart Cities community, when this ridership report came out, they said that they would be willing to open up this ridership data, which is not allowing you to follow anyone's trip. It's just basically counts of on-offs and certain things around schedules. But there's a lot of information there, and they were, you know, wanting to share it with other cities so we can do cross-regional analysis. And it was like, well, how do we get you that data? Are we mailing a thumb drive all around? And HackOregon was able to take that data, put it into a cloud-based system that now is accessible to other cities and also TriMet themselves. Usually the city is the number one user of the data that we serve.
Okay, thank you. So for our city staff, when we get a public records request, we submit it through this. It gets submitted through the city attorney's office. Are you envisioning any involvement by the city attorney's office?
Yes. And we've had great conversations with city attorney's office around how we can leverage these kinds of platforms to actually reduce the number of public records requests by proactively making the data available before people ask for it. So we are definitely partnered with them in these conversations.
And are they envisioning needing more staff in order to set it up?
The pilots themselves?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. We're basically working with the resources that we have now, and you know, everybody's sort of doing this on top of their day jobs, which is not a long-term plan, but will get us through the short-term pilots. That's one of the reasons we're looking at for one of the pilots for it, the vendor to essentially manage it for us, and there would be a transition plan of how we would build up the resources internal to the city that we could take that over at some point when it goes to production. But that's probably a 1920 conversation.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. I understand you have some invited testimony. Is that correct?
We do. Do you still have time for that?
We do if people could keep their remarks succinct.
That'd be great, because I brought people here.
Let's
I know they're excited.
Their time, they're busy people, and let's hear from them. Absolutely.
So let's start. We have a partner from Intel and Metro here to provide some invited testimony.
I'll welcome. Come on up.
Yeah, come on up.
Thank you for being here.
We'll give Devin a little extra time. She just had foot surgery.
Oh, dear. So. Yeah, I see that.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity to introduce myself and my company's dedication to changing the world with technology. My name is Devin Rotier. I'm based out of Chicago, so I came here all the way with my crutches and my boot to speak with you. Very excited.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, of course. And I manage Intel's relationship with public sector end users in the Midwest and the Pacific Northwest. So I'll try to keep this brief, but Kevin mentioned a couple of other cities across the country that, you know, are also trying to solve the same problem. And I think that this is an opportunity for Portland to really be a thought leader and be on the map. And being that Portland is in Intel's backyard, and several, you know, a large base of our employees are you know, citizens of Portland. Intel's really excited to work on the Puddle project. So.
And we're thrilled to have you. I think this is a great collaboration and a great partnership, and we're very, very appreciative to have you here. Thank you. Sorry about your foot.
No problem.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the time to hear us.
Thank you,
I'm
sir.
Jeff Furkanja. I'm the Metro Research Center Director. So the Research Center at Metro is our Geek Squad, and we've been privileged to share our expertise with the great team that Kevin has put together here with all the people you've already heard from. We are here to strongly endorse these pilot projects and the innovative work that your team is doing. And I want to say that the steps that they are taking are early steps towards a greater vision of having a truly smart city, which, as you've heard in more detail, is really about, A, getting public servants like ourselves the tools and resources to do our information job more efficiently, and then also to bring better decision support information to you folks. And so the ultimate vision then proceeds to getting the real value out to your constituents, the people who reside in the city and, of course, the region, so they have better information about public goods and services. So this is important work. It is a long game, but it will ultimately get us to a smart city and, in our view, from Metro's perspective, to a smart region. So we do endorse this work and hope that you will support it. And thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you. And I'll say the same thing to you that I said to the representative from Intel. We appreciate the partnership. We think that there's a lot of learning that can go on here simultaneously for all of us.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Devin. And then just a quick word from TriMet and PGE.
Good morning.
Morning. Hi, I'm Tim McHugh from TriMet. I'm the CIO there. I've been involved in a lot of the open data initiatives that you've already heard from Kat and Kevin. I would tell you that our experience with that has been nothing but positive over the years. It's produced results that we didn't initially envision in any way whatsoever, and it's been a great, just positive thing, engaging the public, getting a lot of good information, getting a lot of fantastic customer information out there that we would not have been able to provide otherwise. And what I'd add that a lot of the work that we need to do in order to get this data organized, a lot of the just diagrams that Kristen displayed for you, that kind of activity has to be taking place in every single one of our divisions, companies, bureaus, whatever we are. It's so duplicative. I think that's one thing about this project that is really kind of exciting is for all of us to focus our resources, getting us all on the same sheet of music, and obviously for TriMet, it's the mobility of the region, and we all need to be working off the same sheet of music when we're looking at decisions on how to get things through the city faster.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity. I'm Josh Keeling. I manage our Customer Energy Solutions Group at Portland General Electric. Our team works on projects in new products and development across a wide suite of projects in smart cities, in decarbonization, in resilience, and transportation electrification. And as you can imagine, across those categories, we're pretty big customers of the data that the city provides already, and are pretty invested in finding new opportunities to collaborate and find synergies in both the provision of open data, but also analytics, and making that more operational. Our planning process on these projects is increasingly reliant on strong collaboration with the communities, with the cities, with the municipalities, particularly when we look at areas such as transportation electrification or resilience, where looking at supporting the communities, finding ways to help them manage in potentially catastrophic events. So this is a huge focus, a corporate goal of our own, and as well in supporting the city's goals around smart cities and decarbonization. So we've been really happy with the partnership, both with the city and with HackOrg. We strongly endorse this effort.
Excellent. Thank you both. Appreciate it very much. So
that
is that
the for
end
us.
Of invited testament? Thank you very much.
Yes,
excellent
thanks for
presentation.
Your patience.
Sue, how many people do we have signed up?
No one signed up.
Very good.
I'm going to speak.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Justice Watchdog. There's one thing that I truly enjoy the most is data. And so when we're talking about bringing this data together and make it more user-friendly, say, to the public, I'm at 100% agreement. Now, I noticed on this grant, we're at $31,600. I don't see how you can do a lot with that amount of money. So I'd like to request that amount be brought up to $150,000. And I think that's a reasonable request. And the benefits of this data for the public to be able to review it and make more informed decisions on what happens at the various, the city, the county, the state level, I think is very beneficial. And I think $150,000 is not a far reach. $30,000 is on the low side. Another issue I have is that I feel that, and I hate to say this to Hack Oregon, we're looking at the autonomous vehicle data that we're going to need. We're looking at my good friend Larry Page, the Skyport data that we'll need. And I like this data being worked on right now. And I think we ask the ridership issue on streetcar, TriMet. I mean, let's face it. I don't need data to know why their ridership is down. We've got Uber, Lyft. We go into autonomous vehicles. I've always said we should stop investing in TriMet. We should stop investing in streetcar. I think they're going to be an obsolete dinosaur. And the reality here is this. We need to look at the data to truly analyze that and have a true understanding on the direction the public is going. We saw what happened to the independent taxicab companies when Uber came into town. As you know, I was asking Uber, please, please understand you're going to cost a lot of these people their jobs. Now, they're not going to listen very closely to what I have to say. It's just one person from the public. But when we have real data that is provided, that makes a big difference. That makes a big difference to where they can look at it, they can analyze it, and then we can create solutions if there's going to be job losses in the private taxi industry, which we've had tremendous. The city did nothing. I stood up here and said, you need to do something. You need to put caps on how many drivers you allow Uber to have out in the marketplace currently till we come up with a solution. I didn't have the data in front of me to be able to do that with you. And what has happened? What has happened?
All right. Thank you.
The private industry has plummeted, and they've lost all their money. Thank you very much, City Council. We need data. We need information. Give them $150,000. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm sure they do appreciate that. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish?
Thanks for an excellent presentation. And I'd like to know more about the June conference. So hopefully we get an email on events that you suggest that we consider going to. Look forward to reviewing the spring bump requests. If there's another presentation at OMSI or elsewhere with like you did last year, I'd also like to know about that. And you know, this whole question of data, better data, and how we use data is at the core of government accountability. And this is a very exciting collaboration. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for the very exciting work you're doing. And, you know, I wish I understood it all, but I have to confess I'm a layperson here. But I do, from a decision maker's perspective, I guess I'm sort of wondering in the back of my mind as I'm listening to your presentations about data-driven decision making is really, is there a limit to that? I mean, there's only so much data that we as decision makers can absorb. And so I guess, you know, there's a role for subjective decision making that I think we all employ up here to a certain degree or another versus sort of the objective decision-making, which is kind of the data-driven answer. So, that's running through my mind. And I think it's something that will need to be looked at. I mean, it's like pointing a fire hose at us. There's only so much we can absorb into our brains and use it to make it a good decision. But I'm very confident in the organizations that are in Hack Oregon and all the other organizations, and I appreciate the work that Hack Oregon has already done for the city of Portland. It's been very productive. I think work you did for the Portland Fire and Rescue recently was very helpful. So I'm going to vote aye for this.
Hugh Daly.
I'm in the middle of a sneezing fit, so I'm just going to say I would love to meet with someone from Hack Oregon and talk about ways that we might work together and just vote aye before it starts again.
Wheeler.
So I'm obviously enthusiastically supportive of this, and I thank all of our partners for being here. This is a great opportunity to use the data to further our goals. And interestingly, this kind of open platform will drive our city bureaus to work together to innovate and to focus on our overall objectives. So I think it's a huge movement in the right direction. Lightning, I agree with you that the $31,000, and I want to acknowledge that's narrowly for the hack portion of this particular proposal. This is really a pilot. When we roll this out in a more substantial way based on what we're going to learn through this program, the resources that will be required to make this feasible citywide, bureau-wide, are going to be substantially more than what's being proposed here. So I do want to acknowledge that. Great start. I vote aye. Thank you all for being here. The ordinance is adopted. The grant's approved. Next item, 269.